Today marks the launch of the UN International Year of Forests under the slogan Forests for People. It also coincides with the release of the UN Food and Agriculture Organization's biennial report of the state of the world's forests. This international year aims to raise awareness of the vital role forests play in a number of important issues facing the planet today, such as climate change. Lydia O'Kane spoke to FAO Forestry's Assistant Director General, Eduardo Rojas Morales.
The slogan for this International Year of Forests is Forests for People. How can people play their part?
Emerging economies and developed countries' population is extraordinarily urbanized by the moment, so their routes towards the rural origin of most of our populations are weakening enormously. And as well, people don't really know where the milk and the eggs and the meat comes from. The same happens when we see either paper or furniture being produced from wood. And we are not fully aware that when we have drinking water, it has been purified by forest. So this overall picture, knowing our dependence from nature, in this sense from forest, is still weak. There are quite scattered approaches. Many people that don't worry about that and others that may see just forests from an economic point of view or from an environmental point of view, but there's a lack of an overall perspective and understanding that if we want such a valuable resources, we have to assure that there's a correspondent. If there is a downstream service like water, there needs to be an upstream finance back in order to keep the forest in good condition. We may put a very good example. This is Costa Rica. Costa Rica has a completely different situation as the neighboring countries. The neighboring countries deforest enormously. Costa Rica's forests are recovering. It's a beautiful nature, lots of opportunities of green tourism. And this is due to the fact that Costa Rica decided 15 years ago to establish financial systems for payment for environmental services to their population that was in the mountains, keeping this forest and this nature in conditions. And this is why these forests are keeping and are expanding, and the neighbor countries, they are degrading because there has been not this political will, perhaps, to protect, but not to put the corresponding resources behind.
Regarding climate change, if countries can't agree on limits and emissions limits, how do we come to a plateau where there isn't a knock-on effect anymore? Because if there's no agreement, it plays into different areas.
I'm sure there will be an agreement in the midterm. The issue is, will there be an agreement in South Africa this year, or will it be postponed for most likely in 3 or 4 years? Because in the meantime, it is quite difficult that the momentum may be kept so long. And, of course, it's very important to force, especially the technological development in the second axis, which would be the reduction of emissions, fossil fuel emissions, for the change towards renewable energies. It's very important that there is a commitment. So in this sense, an agreement is quite important. We might lose 5 years or so if we postpone the agreement. I'm sure there will be an agreement either now or in the midterm. Second thing is, of course, if there is not agreement, Kyoto still is in force, and most likely there will be a kind of Kyoto breach agreement. So the countries that sign, which are not responsible for all the emissions, we have still the US outside, we have China and India outside. So those who are on board, they will make a short-term agreement to postpone it for a few years, so they will be still committed. But it is very important to have these strong emerging economies as well as the US on board. The main worry is that RED is agreed, but the problem, it is not embedded in the global architecture. So the resources for RED will have to come necessary from the official technical cooperation budgets. And considering that the donor countries are facing a very difficult financial situation in the moment, it makes that most likely there will be high competitions for these resources. And what an embedded RED agreement into the overall climate change architecture would assure is that fresh money coming from the markets arrives to developing countries through RED, and not a competing resources that we might have between forest and health, forest and education, forest and infrastructure, forest and agriculture. This we don't want to face in a situation where most likely this budget are to be cut or at least freeze. That is the major issue. It's true that some parts don't like that the commitments of developed countries in reduction of emissions are linked to RED. But We think that it's in an issue of the degree of this commitment. For example, the European Union wants to go from 20% commitment to 2020 to 30%. It's an issue of setting higher, more ambitious targets and setting in these targets a part that can be reduced to red. And this may allow to assure, first, a high reduction real on fossil fuel emissions, and second, fresh money coming from the markets, not from the official budgets, into red, which would allow to upscale it to the level the developing countries are expecting, because in the moment the momentum is very high, the high expectation, and we should not create a boomerang effect by these countries getting quite disappointed about red implementation. And we have to see that in the moment the resources have only gone to the project part, to designing, to measuring, to the architecture, which doesn't bring any resource to the countries. And soon, when this architecture is closed, they're going to ask the key flows, which cannot be assured only by this correspondent inclusion of an overall architecture. That's why we hope very much that Durban, with the commitment of South Africa, is able to continue the path that Mexico has started.
You mentioned climate change, but you mentioned the Millennium Development Goals. How does that figure for people listening and thinking Millennium Development Goals and forestry? How do those both tally together?
From at least two sides. There's first the Millennium Development Goal related to hunger, and the other related to environment and mainly deforestation. So on one hand, if we are able, by helping the countries to overcome deforestation, this is strongly linked as well to intensifying agriculture, social development, governance, and so on. There is a forest contribution, but as well by highlighting and strengthening the capacity of forests to provide livelihoods to population, and in that sense, overcoming poverty, and by it as well, hunger and other needs of population. How are our best examples of this in tropical and developing countries? One main element is focusing on passing the traditional management based on the state that is very poor towards communities, so that empower the communities that have been in the past, indigenous people, the owners of this forest, to be back the main protagonists in the management of those forests. This doesn't say that the state should not have a certain surveillance, but should not be the only actor. This empowerment of communities has been an excellent tool in Latin America, in Africa, and in Asia. And we have excellent examples. And by the moment, a quarter of the world forests are managed by communities. So in that sense, this is an interesting path. Related to this is strengthening on non-wood forest products. Many are related to food supplements, and other provide products for house construction or for daily products, or as well for trade, domestic, and even for foreign currency, for exports. These products have not received sufficient attention. Frequently, they are in the grey economy, they are informal sector, and we understand that we have very interesting projects on this sense to strengthen the capacity of these non-wood forest products, especially linked either to communities or to small and medium enterprises, to enter the formal economy, to be legalized, to be empowered appropriation, the utilization of these products to the local communities in order to avoid that these products are overused. There is always this risk. And by this sense, this can be very valuable resources. We calculate that the revenue by non-wood forest products is of the same dimension of wood, but the main wood, about $600 billion per annum in the world, but wood is mainly, the main value of wood is in the northern countries, so in the tropical countries it's most likely to be double or more the value of wood. So in that sense, if we're able to strengthen small, medium enterprises, community-based management on that, we can assure a much better livelihoods for those people that shall remain in the rural areas, regardless that we know that a part will move to the cities. But those who remain there, they should have an adequate standard of living.
How important do you find years like these and reports like these in highlighting causes such as this?
They're very important because they oblige all of us to think and to communicate. In a modern society where media are very important, and we see the relevance of media just recently in developments in many countries that face difficulties with the food crisis and so on, so medias are very relevant. We have to all all public entities up to the UN inform what we do, to be accountable for what we do. And the first step of accountability is to inform what we are doing, in our case, including informing of our global perspective of forests and highlighting the best examples we have seen and even the lessons of the less positive examples. And such a year obliged us to face this communication and to make it visible, because forests, as I comment, have the risk to be too little visible or just visible from the perspective of someone needs, which is a very scattered approach and which doesn't assure the correspondent flows. I must add in that sense that forests are a very long-lasting resource, so a failed decision has consequences in negative terms for the next generation. And in that sense, there is always a risk, if we have a short-term view from the economic, from the political perspective, to postpone decisions in forests, as it will be in certain way not rewarded to the present generation. And we have to counterbalance this risk in order to put forests in the first level of political attention, as it is unfortunately not the case in practically all the countries of the world.